up, though? Thank you for tuning into the Last Show Podcast. My name is Courtney Shane Williams, and thank you for tuning into the Last Show Podcast. The live audience, people watching this on YouTube. My name is Courtney Shane Williams. I am a stand-up comedian based out of Tampa, Florida. This is how it gets down once a week. It's the Last Show Podcast. Subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google, and TuneIn Radio. Go to my website, CourtneyShaneWilliams.com. That's K-O-R-T-N-E-Y, ShaneWilliams.com. You can see where I'm performing my live stand-up comedy shtick. I will be in Seattle, Washington, recording my third, fourth comedy album. You can get tickets somewhere. I don't know where. I should know that information before I just cut it out. You can get tickets to the show. I'll be recording my album, 800-pound gorilla, because we sit whatever we want to in these streets. Go to my Instagram and Twitter, at Courtney Shane. You can follow me there. That's at K-O-R-T-N-E-Y Shane. Thank you all for listening. You guys have found the show. Hopefully this is not as clunky as it was a couple weeks ago. Last week. Last week was okay. Every week is less clunky. And for you guys that are thinking, oh man, he's nailing it. This is the second time I've done this, by the way. I started recording and my studio fell apart. And then I was deep into a point and your studio starts falling apart. This house of cards start collapsing. I was like, hey man, hey, I gotta act like that didn't happen. I need to be professional for some weird reason. What else? Oh, I do this crazy show. So I did this Zoom show this week. And the show this week was good. I did this show with these Canadians. Some nice Canadians. Which is, that's redundant. There's no such thing as a mean Canadian. I've never seen a Canadian with a bad attitude. You know, at least the ones I see. All the Canadians on the brochure make you want to live there. Like, I've never been in Canada. It's like, hey, man, that dude in Toronto gave me a lot of attitude. They don't have those people. You guys are nice people, so thank you guys that have found the show. You're about to find out who I really am. He was so nice on the Zoom show. It's completely different now. Yes, it's who I am. If you pay me to do a show, I'm going to do the show that you want me to do. There's a little peek behind the curtain. Okay, if I'm getting paid, I deliver the show. Like, it's not about art. Once money's put on the table, like, art kind of goes out the window. You got to compromise. I'm not at the point in my career where I can be a stickler about the whole thing. As I had some comedians from the time that they started stand-up, say, hey, man, Courtney, it's art. They're not going to control me. If I got a bunch of sex jokes, I'm just going to go ahead and do all my sex material. You know, I'm not going to let them say, I'm not doing a clean show. They told me to wear a suit and a tie, Courtney. I showed up wearing a tuxedo shirt because I am an artist. Yeah, that's not really the way I roll, you know. If you pay me, I'll pretty much deliver the show you want me to do. Whatever show you want, if the check's clear, to quote the great Andrew Bynum. When they asked Andrew Bynum, do you like playing with the Cleveland Cavaliers? What have you heard about the organization? He's like, I heard all the checks clear. That is the way I perform when I'm getting paid, man. So if you got the money, I'll show up and whatever it is. Now I reserve the right to take or not take the show. Like if somebody's like, hey, Courtney, we need an opener for this KKK meeting. You know, something to break the ice. There's a lot of tension in the room. Yeah, I'm probably going to pass on that gig. Yeah, sorry, Donald. You got to find a different guy. The show, man. Oh, so a lot happened this week. I do want to talk and start. Make sure I'm recording this show before I go into some weird soliloquy. So the Derek Chauvin child, my man, not my man, is, you know, Trump's man, guilty, guilty, guilty on everything. So this thing has been dissected and redissected and twisted and turned around, and we're Friday. It's 7:18 PM. And, this is the 23rd East Coast time. So by the time you see this, you've seen all the takes you can get. Like, all the hot takes are gone. You know what I mean? I am chewing on gristle right now, you know? But I do the show once a week. I'm not going to do some show, break my thing, so I can give you some breaking news. I'm not Anderson Cooper. But there are zero people watching this live right now. Look, what am I breaking my neck, dude? No! Like, y'all come to the show because y'all come to hear me talk about the show. It ain't gotta be time sensitive, okay? I might just start breaking down Lucille Ball's stand-up comedy right now. It's not about time sensitive, you know? Did you see that episode of MASH? Oh, what a cliffhanger. You know what I mean? So, one thing I thought, even as it went along, and it became, at the beginning it was a hot take, and then after that it became everybody's take, and once everybody has the same take, it's no longer hot. That's the way hot take works. That's why First Take comes on at 10 o'clock, because someone may take the take by 11:30, okay? So Stephen A. Smith, as a matter of fact, was one of the first ones, you know, that really articulated it, because they asked him how he felt about the trial, and he said, you know, honestly, there was nothing to celebrate, you know? It wasn't a celebration, and Howard Bryant came on. I respect the heck out of Howard Bryant, dude. And Howard Bryant came on, and he was like, you know, they were like, what'd you think when you saw the verdict? He goes, you want me to, you know, tell you the truth? You know, and when a black person looks into the camera, there's a sneaky way, man. So if you see an old black person, there's something that happens with old black men. The older they get, the older a black man gets, you know, they kind of like not drop their head a little bit. They always focus on something. You wonder, why do black men live to about 63? It's because there's a lot on your head. You know what I mean? So your head's always down, and then something catches your attention. That's why I'm a good parent, you know what I mean? Because I'm busy down here, and I hear something over here, and I just give my daughter looks. You know what time it is, you know what I mean? It's time to stand at attention and stop doing whatever you're doing, because you're about to ruin the things that I'm looking to. So Howard Bryant's on ESPN. That was the point of that story. Howard Bryant's on ESPN, and he's like, hey, do you want me to tell you the truth? What? And he snaps his head up, and he looks at the camera. And he goes, the truth of the matter is, you know, when I saw people celebrating, you know, I was angry. I was like, there's nothing to celebrate. You got what you should have already gotten. There's a lot of great quotes going around. Malcolm X, it's so great now when people quote Malcolm X, when in his day people hated his guts. People quote Martin Luther King like, oh man, of course he was right. Yo, Arizona didn't want to make Martin Luther King Day a holiday. If you ain't going to make Martin Luther King Day a holiday, what are we doing this for? President's Day? Because all them dudes was the greatest people in the world. That's right. I said on the last show podcast, I said it. Yo, dude, the least controversial person in the history of America is Martin Luther King. Throw it out there. It probably like, oh, Martin Luther King, Mother Teresa, was she American? I don't even know if Mother Teresa was American. Betsy Ross, I'm pretty sure she has some controversy, you know what I mean? Probably voted for Columbus. One of those dudes. I mean, this is the least Harriet Tubman is the least controversial person in the history of America. This is like Martin Luther King and Mr. Rogers. Mr. Rogers should have a holiday, by the way. Straight up, man. But people didn't want him, but now they quote Martin Luther King or Malcolm X, and they said, if you stick a knife in my back 10 inches and take it out 8 inches, that's not progress. If a man kills a man on camera in cold blood and he gets convicted, that's not progress. That's the system working. It's not progress. He goes, so when I saw people celebrating, I was angry. I didn't like it. It's like, what are we celebrating for, dude? Like, he's still dead. Everything, it's still over. What is he celebrating? And I was like, yo, he's right. He's right. But then I started thinking, you know, and I thought this even as it happened, when people zig, I zag, and I thought about this situation. I was like, what do you actually care if people celebrate or not? Does it actually matter if people celebrated Derek Chauvin being guilty? The fact of the matter, he's still guilty. No amount of celebration, no amount of support, no amount of anything was going to bring him back to life. No, nothing was going to bring George Floyd back to life. Nothing's going to bring Martin Luther King back to life or Malcolm X back to life. Like, nothing's going to bring them back. But we celebrate Martin Luther King's birthday. We honor Martin Luther King Day. We honor Black History Month. Ain't nobody bringing back Nat Turner. Like, none of this is happening. I remember when Martin Luther King made speeches and he talked about the end of Montgomery bus boycott. And I remember in the room, I remember I watched these speeches every Martin Luther King Day. I watch him. And I remember him taking a vote, yay or nay, who wants to end the boycott? And everybody said yay. And when they voted yay, everybody screamed in exhilaration. That wasn't progress. That was just them taking the blade out of your back 2 inches. You were supposed to be able to ride the bus where you wanted to. You weren't supposed to have to boycott. You weren't supposed to get cracked in the head with it. You weren't supposed to. But they celebrated. Derek Chauvin's guilty because he's a murderer. And people celebrated. So it had me thinking, if they could celebrate, why can't you celebrate now? The key is not whether or not you celebrate. The key is whether or not you stop your hustle. That's the key. Celebrate, laugh, scream, cry, break down. Personally, I broke down crying. That's what I did. But when you get done, it's still work to do. As long as you get this work done, do whatever you have to do to get that energy up out of you. To quote the great Maya Angelou, you don't hold that bitterness. Bitterness eats on you. Bitterness is a cancer that eats on the host. You laugh it, you cry it, you write it, but you talk about it. You never stop talking. You never stop working, dude. You never stop working. So to all those people that celebrated Derek Chauvin being found guilty, all those people that laugh, cry, whatever, about the verdict that you shouldn't have had to do. You shouldn't have been sitting at home nervous about the outcome. You shouldn't have been. But the fact of the matter is, people were, because that's the level of distrust. It's okay to celebrate it, but don't stop the hustle. It's still work to do. There is still no justice. That blade's still in your back about 6 to 4 inches deep. All right? Keep hustling. It's the Last Show podcast. Thank you for tuning into the Last Show. It's called the Last Show because this may be it. Welcome back to the Last Show podcast. My name is Courtney Shane Williams. Thank you for tuning in to the show. The hump, the dance. Here's your dance. Here's your dance. To do the hump. Shock G passed away at 57 years old. This stuff is crazy now, dude. I had no idea how old he was. Shock G, 57, dude. That means when he was out here doing the hump, the dance and all that, dude, that had to be like 19. That's before I left Cleveland, Ohio. And I'll tell you why I know that. So that had to be about 19. So I left Ohio when I was 10. So maybe I was 6, something like that. So that had to be about 89 or something like that. When did the Humpty Dance come out? That's 1989. I nailed it like a savage. I'm Megan Thee Stallion. They gonna call me Courtney Thee Stallion in these streets. So 1989, that dude died at 57. That would make him all of, what, that's 30 years ago? So what, man, like 27? Man, young dude, man. So the reason I know that information is because, funny enough, the Digital Underground Humpty Dance, that's the first tape I ever bought. This is a story that probably no one will know. Why did I take down that podcast logo? You guys should have told me. That looked crazy. One thing that my parents definitely don't know about this, but one thing was that was the first album I ever bought because I was in Cleveland, Ohio, I'll never forget, with my aunt, and we took the bus in Cleveland, where my grandmother lived, over to the store, and it was two tapes that were bought that day. It was the Digital Underground was bought, this tape with the Humpty Dance, and Coolie High Harmony. Oh, yeah, Boys the Man. Coolie, what year did Coolie High Harmony come out, boy? Oh, man. Motown Philly back again. So I remember, I had no idea what the Humpty Dance was or what it meant. 1991. So I don't know when we went to go get this thing. But that was the first tape that I owned. Was, you know, the Humpty Dance. Jazz your chance and your dance. Do the hump. And that was it, man. Shock G passed away. Surprise. These things is getting crazy, man. Stacking up. Excuse me, I gotta. Things are getting wild, man. DMX, Black Rob, Shock G, and stacking up, man. Locking all our stars up. All right, so that first segment went kind of long. I didn't really get to something else I want to get to. Yo, so there's this blogger apparently out in Los Angeles that catfished the LA Lakers and a whole bunch of people. Like, I didn't even know, like, this story existed, but apparently there's, like, some blogger that, like, covers the team, like bloggers do, right? There's some blogger out in Los Angeles that was, like, covering the team or whatever, and she went missing. And and they found out she was missing because somebody told her, hey, she's missing. Like, no one actually knows, because the thing is, when you're catfishing somebody, you tend to keep a low profile. You know what I mean? It's not a lot of people out here catfishing people with a Facebook page that has their information on it, right? So you kind of got to piecemeal this thing together. Like, don't F with cats. You kind of got to do it that way, right? So this person's like, yo, this person is missing. So then the LA Lakers sent out a statement on this person missing. It was like, oh my gosh, we gotta find her. I don't know what her name was. Let's call her Lene Kakua. You know what I mean? So then they do out this search and like, oh, we gotta find her. And it's like, hey, she's returned home. And it's like, oh, well, good. No one's actually ever seen this woman before. And then there was this deep, dark recesses of the internet that somehow I got pulled into on Twitter that involved Kevin Durant. Like, for some reason, Kevin Durant was moderating this whole debunking of the catfishing of this blogger, which sounds like something Kevin Durant would do. I mean, Kevin Durant Googles other people's name. Kevin Durant not only Googles his own name so he can go back and forth with Michael Rapaport, he Googles names of people that don't even exist. Like, that's the level of diabolical hater Kevin Durant is. Kevin Durant might Google me right now. I hear somebody talking about me. I didn't moderate that Reddit page. Who's this dude in the Ohio State shirt with a hat that doesn't match? That'd be me. So apparently, like, they did all this search, and they haven't officially said she doesn't exist, but they have officially found the person that may or may not run her account. And that dude has officially said, hey, I don't run her account. She's just a friend. And from all the episodes of Catfish on MTV, I've watched my wife watch, because I will not actually watch the show. I watch my wife watch the show. It's like 30 Day Fiance or whatever it is. Like, that's, I watch her watch that show because deep down I know you're never getting that. Never getting that. This is 90 Day Fiance. Come on, man. I got better things to do. I mean, 90 days is too quick. All right? It's too quick. So I watch her watch the show. And what I do know is when that person issues the denial, they're always lying. 100% of the time, by the way. My favorite catfish incident is when somebody's getting catfished by a family member for their own good, by the way. That's my favorite. It's like, hey, why'd you catfish your daughter? Because I knew she needed a friend. I was tired of her staying in the house. So I just would say, hey, I'll meet you at the mall. And she'd just show up at the mall and nobody would be there. I just wanted to leave, Mari. That's what I'm trying to do. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm still screwing with this mic. So, it did have me thinking, though, because this is actually something I wanted to do before this whole incident. I really want to catfish somebody. I do. Like, deep down, I feel like that's the thing that's going to come out of this pandemic for me, man. I want to catfish somebody. I've been inspired by the Lakers blogger. That's right. Like, I want to go missing one day and everybody look for me and I don't even exist. That'd be great. That'd be great to just look in on the search. You know, you might be painfully disappointed about how much people actually don't care. Courtney's missing. All right, well, I got to be at work at 3:30, so hopefully we can wrap this up by 2:15. If not, we're calling off the search. We're calling off the search. Has anyone checked his bedroom yet? I don't know if we checked the bedroom, but I know the front door locked. So if somebody set my alarm off, I know something. If he's in the house, he'll be fine, okay? Check everywhere but the house, all right? He's missing, you know? I want to catfish somebody. I want to catfish my wife. That's right. I said on the last show podcast, I think it'd be a fun game just to catfish my wife when she just finds out I'm not who I am. You've lied to me for 10 years. I had no idea you were a Mexican man in Detroit. Like, hey, you know, it happens that way sometimes. It's a Freaky Friday situation. Oh, God, I almost died. Hey, man, I'm like, yo, it was a weird situation. I did a comedy show in Ann Arbor, and I owed a British guy some money. You know what I mean? And I didn't have any loonies on me, whatever they use in British. And so I just bounced. That'd be the way it is. But I want to catfish my wife. So that's my big takeaway from the Lakers catfishing situation. Hey, babe, you're next. You know what's wild? I saw the bill. I want to talk about two more things before we get out of here. Oh, I want to talk about Jake Paul fight. So I've been watching too much First Take. Like, First Take is giving me a Second Take. That's a terrible situation. You know, when I'm doing spinoffs of First Take, like, that's not the... When I started the podcast, I never imagined myself, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to report on Stephen A. Smith. That was never part of the agenda. But all of a sudden, I'm doing these Second Takes. But Jake Paul fought over the weekend. Apparently, this fight was the ish, by the way, Doc. Because it wasn't just the fight. Because, like Snoop Dogg is officially the Black Joe Buck. Like, all of a sudden, Snoop Dogg is getting all the good gig. You're going to see Snoop Dogg on Monday Night Football. I'm just saying. They're going to kick Booger out the booth. Or whoever the person is that does the color commentary is getting kicked out of the booth. Like, I don't know. Who is it? Bob Greasy? Hey, dude. The Monday Night Football booth is going to be Sal Palantonio, Snoop Dogg, and Peyton Manning. Everybody's just going to be shooting the commercials the entire time. Snoop Dogg and Peyton Manning are basically the same person. They don't care what they've done in their past. They're here to shoot commercials. Shoot commercials and make money. I love Peyton Manning, dude. That is the way you do it, by the way. Peyton Manning, no one says, oh, he's the greatest ever. But you know he was the dopest when he put the ball in his hands. He was the dopest. And as soon as his career ended, my man slid into money. I feel like money. Peyton Manning was making all kind of monies when he was in the NFL. Peyton Manning was endorsing the Sunday Ticket when he was hurt for the entire season. That dude was still shooting commercials with a life-threatening injury. He had no neck muscles, and Peyton Manning was making that bread. Snoop Dogg, go listen to the old Snoop Dogg catalog. The game is to be sold and not told. You know, those that tell don't know. Those that know don't tell. But look at the old Snoop Dogg files. And while you're there, pull open the Ice-T file. You know what I mean? And then just see what you see on TV now. That's called I Feel Like Money. That's the way you do it right there, man. So that's the ultimate Monday Night Football booth. Snoop Dogg, Peyton Manning, and who's the third guy? Who did I? Mike Tirico. Just Mike Tirico, just embarrassed by the whole thing. Jim Nance. Could you imagine Snoop Dogg and Jim Nance on CBS? The Masters. And here comes the putt. Oh, Lord. Corona. You know what I mean? Everything. So Jake Paul fought over the weekend in one of these Triller fights. And so, like, De La Hoya, Oscar De La Hoya was there and he was drunk. Jake Paul, he was probably drunk. The dude that Jake Paul fought came into the fight completely out of shape. Snoop Dogg was commentating. Justin Bieber, I guess, he did a concert. The Black Keys were there. It was like an incredible show. And apparently, what's your man, the King of Staten Island, was there with Snoop Dogg, and they may have not been, you know, getting their hands on some paraphernalia. Reefer is what the kids are calling it now. And this fight was off the hook, but apparently Jake Paul knocked out this dude that used to be a UFC fighter in the first round. So if you keep them count at home, that's two knockouts to nothing. Jake Paul knocked out a UFC fighter, and Jake Paul knocked out Nate Robinson. And by the way, I heard Nate Robinson wants to fight Jake Paul again. Hey, Nate, this ain't what you want, player. I saw the last fight. I'm surprised you woke up. I mean, if I was you, you know, I'd watch that fight again. You know, you leaned into the left hook. So, Stephen A. Smith was pissed off at Jake Paul. Stephen A. Smith was mad at Jake Paul. He said, Jake Paul, it's enough of this. Jake Paul needs to fight a real boxer. Hey, why would I want to fight a real boxer? Like, real boxers don't want to fight real boxers. Who in their right mind wants to fight a man? Like, look, to fight a man for money is crazy. Crazy. NFL players, you are running into another grown man who is running into you at full speed. Ain't nobody doing that for fun. I mean, you doing that for $10 million a year. That's the way you're doing it. If you can make $10 million knocking out Nate Robinson, why on earth would I want to line up against Ray Lewis? Man, are you kidding me? You kidding me? You don't get rich taking chances like that. That's the way you get killed out here in these streets. Jake Paul should fight a real fighter. Why? So Stephen A. Smith can be satisfied? What happens if I get hurt? I'm gonna be real, dog. I told you on the last show, dude. There are three people I don't want to fight. Number one, anybody that knows karate. Anybody knows karate, I don't want no piece of you. Boxers, I don't want no piece of you. And Aaron Donald. That is the list of people I want no part of, dog. You tell me, hey, man, you can fight Nate Robinson and make the same amount of money if you were to fight Julio Cesar Chavez. Hey, bring on Nate Robinson. Tell him to stay away from my eyes, dog. That's the way it's going to work. I'm trying to fight a real boxer so Stephen A. Smith can have respect for me? Get out of here. Stephen A. Smith showed up to work on Monday in a suit and a tie, and his face wasn't swollen. Hey, you know what, Stephen A? If you really about that commentating life, why don't you get in the ring with Shannon Sharp, huh? Go 12 rounds with Shannon. Come on, man. Get out of here. Make that money. I did see that Jake Paul's about to fight Floyd Mayweather. And I want all you guys that root against Floyd Mayweather, and I know it's plenty of y'all, by the way, you know, I've seen the statistics on the pay-per-view. All you people that have been giving Floyd Mayweather your money for years, thinking Floyd Mayweather's going to lose a fight, this will be the time when he gets his comeuppance. Hey, hit him in the chin, Jake. Don't waste your money. Don't waste your money. Because Floyd Mayweather is just here to take your money. Guarantee you there will be no knockout in the first round. Guarantee. Put your house on it, okay? Guarantee you. Jake Paul ain't knocking out Floyd Mayweather. That ain't happening. That ain't happening. You want to know why? Because that is Floyd Mayweather. That ain't happening, okay? And Floyd Mayweather is not knocking out Jake Paul in the first round. And you want to know why I know that? Because Floyd Mayweather fought Conor McGregor and had y'all thinking he was actually a good fighter. That's how I know that, dude. Those two things ain't happening. Floyd Mayweather is going to keep you people around just long enough to take all your money, okay? Floyd Mayweather is a legal bank robber, all right? And you give him your money. Don't fall for the okey-doke, all right? Follow me. I'll send out a link so you can watch the fight for free. Like, we will watch the fight. Don't get me wrong. We got to get it in. All right. I got to get out of here on a couple things. Pandemic Red Man versus Method Man. Now, actually, I was going to talk about that on the podcast. And then Shock G passed away, and it didn't talk about it. But you guys, the Versus things is going dope, by the way, man. The people that do Versus, apparently, are the same people that put on the Jake Paul fight. And those people know how to put on the product. You know, by the way, Trilla, if you holler at your boy, dog. I got an album coming up. Y'all want to live stream the album, you know? Bring in Jake Paul. Tell him to stay away from my eyes, dog. We can make this work. But I want to talk about this Mike Hardy or Mike Holly, Bob Holly. I don't know, dude. But they had the anti-Asian bill. It passed the Senate 94-1. So everybody voted for anti-Asian hate. Except for one person, and that was Jake Paul or Bob Paul or Holly, Bob Holly, whatever the dude is, Hardcore Holly, I don't know whatever dude is. You know, remember the dude, if you don't know him exactly, because I don't know him, obviously, It was the guy that right the day of the insurrection, he walked into the Capitol building and he gave all of the insurrectionists the Black Power salute, which is a funny thing. I knew they were going to blame the insurrection on black people. I didn't quite know how they was going to do it. And when he gave them the Black Power salute, I was like, oh, buddy, this is not going to end good. That's when I knew they're up to something. They're up to something. But that dude voted against the bill for anti-Asian hate. He said it was too big of a blanket. Come on, dog. You're just trying to be that dude. Everybody knows that dude. It's just like, why are you doing this, dude? Everybody wants tacos. I want tapas. Dog, they don't sell tapas at Taco Bell, dude. Hey, man, we're going to go ahead and get some burgers. I'm thinking about lasagna. Dog, come on, man. Nobody trying to think about ravioli. It is 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I need to get this glitter off me before I go home to my wife. I don't have time to get lasagna, man. It's enough. He's one of these dudes that's just trying to be these dudes. It's like the DeSantos, man. These clowns think they're going to be president. He thinks he's going to be president. He thinks by voting against the anti-Asian hate bill, you know what, dude? I need to rally people on my side before this election comes up. People, what? People are doing what to Asian? Oh, man, I'm about to zig when everybody else is zagged. Hey, man, I'm against the anti-Asian hate bill. So what are you doing? You really think that that's connecting with the people? You're not going to be president. Hey, Hardcore Holly, come in close. Come in close. Come closer. Come closer. You have no shot of being president. No shot. You know how hard it is to be president? Honestly, most presidents serve 2 terms, except for the one loser. You know? That's 8 years of president, dog. You can't be president until what, you're like 30 or something? 35, something like that. I don't know. I haven't looked up the rules lately. I don't know if I'm running. You know what I mean? Can't be president at 30. If you're lucky, you live to be 90. Ain't nobody elected a 90-year-old president. Like, it's, you know, Biden is the only example. He is 95 years old, okay? But let's say you're 80 years old, you could be elected president. Let's say. So that means you got about 50 years to really have a shot at being president. And if there's only one president, what, every eight years? That means you got about 7 opportunities in your lifetime to be president. Come closer, Hardcore Holly. You're never going to be president. Never, never, never gonna be president, dog. It's the same thing with Ron DeSantis. Ron DeSantis out here, and he's like, you know, I'm gonna keep Florida open, and I don't care if it's a pandemic, because when the president come up, I can run on the idea. I kept the country going. Our economy never stopped. We just kept holding WWE events in empty stadiums, and we were rolling in the dough, man. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, if we're just going to roll out the vaccine to the people I like, and then we're going to crack down on protesters. That's the ticket. Come here, Ron. You're never going to be president. Never. So just to be a jerk while you're being a loser, why? Why vote against the bill that everybody votes for? Like it's going to be some kind of feather in your cap, dude. It ain't going to matter. Literally everyone but you voted for it. Which means if the senators represent the people and all the senators but you voted for it, those senators were elected by people to represent them. So the people who they represent, they in turn voted for a bill that represents them. And you, clown, were the only one to not vote for it, which means all them people that you think voting for you ain't voting for you because you don't represent the people. Let's wrap the show. Thank you, you, and you. That was a thunderous ending. I had no idea I was going to peak like that. But you know what I mean? Sometimes you pull out the big guns. For Hardcore Holly, I hit him with a folding chair. Subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google, and TuneIn Radio. Website, CourtneyShaneWilliams.com. Subscribe. Live stream the show on YouTube. You can catch a rebroadcast of the show on my Facebook fan page. Courtney Shane Williams comedian. I think that's what it is. And I'm going to holler at you guys next week. Oh, darn it. I did a great podcast with a friend of mine, Jake Lloyd, and it was an interview. It was very intimate. Mom, don't listen to the show. We delve heavy into my past. So, you know what I mean? You don't need to know about my past. It's about the future. You don't live through the rearview mirror, all right? But Jake Lloyd, it's the Dragon Wheel Network. Check out the show. I forgot the name of it, but just check it out. Go to my page. I retweeted all the links. You can check it out there at Courtney Shane, Instagram, and Twitter. This week, I'm doing somebody else's podcast. But, you know, until I do it, I don't say nothing about it. Subscribe to this show. And if you're streaming the show, go on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Get the show. You can get the whole thing. Take it with you. Share it with your people. Don't hold it all to yourself. You've been eating long enough. Stop being greedy. Peace.
Law enforcement officers risk their lives every day. They deserve better. And the American people deserve. I have the floor, Mr. Jordan. What? Did I strike a nerve?
Aha. Aha. What do you know from funny, you bastard?
Until next time, take care of yourselves and each other.
Gay blouses.
Toodaloo.